Next item on the agenda is Ron Edwards, 09-0990. Morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Bowman, Associate Commissioners. Good morning. Welcome, Mr. Grandis. The Commission will recall in October, we brought this item to you, Mr. Edwards' request for after-the-fact approval of this pier rebuild and modification. After going through the slides, my briefing, the Commission voted to deny his request, but did offer, because Mr. Edwards was not present in October, offered him an opportunity to come and be heard if he could give valid reason for his lack of attendance in October.
Remember the case well.
Okay. At this point, I'm prepared to brief it as if it hasn't been briefed entirely. Mr. Edwards is here today. He's represented. We do have a couple of pieces of new information that are in your packet, starting at 7A through E, and there's a couple of letters of support, one of which we received yesterday, and some letters of support that were brought today that Mr. Edwards' attorney will present.
How about placing up there a picture for familiarization so that the Commission can look, just to make sure the fact, just, I'm appalled. Did the Commission remember this case from last month?
Yes, sir.
Is there any need for us to go through the entire briefing again? I think we heard a very thorough briefing, not to prejudice the Commission, but everything that pertains to this project is on record. As I recall, what occurred was two things. No permit was acquired, and the gentleman did not come. As I recall, the condition was that if the gentleman could provide a sufficient reason for not being at the meeting, we would hear from him and his reasoning as to why he did not obtain permits, and then also have staff's involvement as to mitigating the matter to determine what would be appropriate in this situation after having heard from Mr. Edwards. That's basically my recollection of the case. Jay, is that pretty much?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Proceed with the new information. Number one, why wasn't he here, and what other new information do you have, as well as staff's recommendations, please?
Well, if we go to, I'm sorry, if we start at item 6A of your packet, after the Commission hearing, we send out a letter of finding to applicants and protestants indicating what the action of the Commission was. That letter was sent to Mr. Edwards, dated August, I'm sorry. Start from the very bottom. October 29th, I believe, is the letter I'm referring to. Let me grab it here. Apologize. We had sent Mr. Edwards a letter indicating that the Commission had heard his case and denied his after-the-fact request. That letter was actually had included a erroneous zip code. At that point, Mr. Edwards called and sent a letter into us indicating that he was unaware of the Commission hearing. He never received notice of the original October Commission hearing. And furthermore, later, through his attorney, stated that the erroneous zip code that shows up on two non-form letters to him would be reason, perhaps, that the original notice was sent to the wrong address. However, both of the letters that were sent to him with the proper address with the wrong zip code, one of which was certified, were received by Mr. Edwards. As far as staff knows, every other piece of correspondence ever sent to Mr. Edwards prior to the Commission hearing was received by Mr. Edwards at that same address. So there is a question about the improper zip code, and that is what he is indicating was the reason he did not receive notice.
Were they returned?
No, sir.
History has shown me, and maybe there's a fluke to it, but an improper zip code may delay the delivery of the mail, but I've never seen one. I mean, it may go to Walla Walla, Washington before it goes to Washington Avenue here, but it normally ends up where it's supposed to be some 10 days later. But having said that, let's proceed.
Essentially, the only other substantive information. We received December 11th, I got on my desk yesterday, from John Groner in a letter of support for the pier. Their men's club uses that pier during their annual rockfish tournament. Mr. Simmons, Mr. Edwards' attorney, also has some letters of support that I thought, you know, he can present to you. He just showed them to me today, so I think he will present those to you all. Actually requesting or asking for the commission to consider allowing the pier as it was built to remain. And the only other thing I would like to mention at this point, in my briefing previously, I had indicated that the Wetlands Board heard this item at their October meeting. They approved it after the fact with a civil charge and a triple permit fee. I tried to call the county this morning. I wasn't able to get the staff person there. But as of last week when I talked to him, that fee has still not been paid either, for what that is worth.
Okay.
So with that being, here's the structure. As you may recall, there was an existing pier in this location at a lower elevation and much narrower. It was raised and widened, and this section was added. There was never a return to the upland in this location. After the fact application drawings, improved after the fact application drawings. There was also an issue with some additional mooring piles, these 8 mooring piles that were installed temporarily. Mr. Edwards, upon our direction, did remove those. They're shown here on the barge. However, the barge is now, at high tide it's sunken. It's low tide, it's not. That, as far as I know, is still not been resolved. So this is resting on state bottom at this point in time.
Today it is?
At high tide, I would assume it is. There are some photos also that Mr. Edwards has brought that will show that at least low tide, that some of it's out of the water. I'll just leave this up here if that's all right with the commission. Staff recommendation at the time was actually to allow the after-the-fact improvements to remain, but with a civil charge, given a minor degree of environmental impact, but a severe degree of noncompliance, we recommended, I believe, $1,800. So I guess I could either answer any additional questions.
Is that still staff's recommendation at this time?
We're going to stand by everything that we had written previously. The only thing that was different was the correspondence subsequent to the last commission hearing, that letter of support, additional letters of support.
Since the case was initially heard, has your interaction with the gentleman been cooperative, and has he done whatever's been asked, or...
I have had none. Virtually. He had called, and he did send a letter in, which is item 6A,
right.
And then the letters through his attorney.
Okay. All right. Any questions of Mr. Woodward?
Yeah.
Let me get down here, Mr. Tankard, Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Fox.
How did you arrive at the minor degree of environmental impact as opposed to major, particularly after we see this barge collapse, et cetera?
Well, keep in mind the barge has sunken subsequent to all of this being written. I have not notified him. A lot of times that actually is handled through the Marine Police when a vessel becomes sunken and resting on state-owned bottom. That only came to my attention a week or so ago. I have not even actually addressed it to Mr. Edwards. The removal of the mooring piles, the temporary mooring piles, that was a violation then resolved. The widening of this section of dock, it's an open pile, elevated wooden treated timber walkway. The return of this section here, again, open pile. Had he applied to do this, it's likely that we would have authorized it. The square footage doesn't come into this. It's a commercial dock. There is need of offloading for seafood and so forth. You'll see that in some of the letters of support. as well as patrons coming to the restaurant, so there was a safety issue. So we didn't feel that the structure in and of itself represented an environmental insult.
And he did the work by himself?
It's my understanding that he didn't actually drive the piles, but he hired someone to drive the barge and drive the crane, operate the crane that's on the barge. But he does, in fact, own the barge and crane.
Okay. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the issue of the barge, that clearly requires some sort of immediate attention, and I was just curious to know what sort of action staff was contemplating or what sort of action was available to staff to address the situation.
Law enforcement can handle that. What we normally do is handle that in the same manner as we do derelict vessels. We send out notices, give them 30 days to remove them. If they're not removed from the bottom of the waterways, we handle them under the Code of Virginia. You'd get a summons issued to have them come to court and handle it through the court proceeding. However, I would hope that by the end of the day, we won't have to go that route. Mr. Fox.
Mr. Wood, isn't it accurate that you or some representative of VMRC talked with Mr. Edwards back in April and told him that if he did anything, he had to have a permit?
Yes, sir. I met Mr. Edwards. My first meeting with Mr. Edwards was when he was acquiring the entire parcel from Milton Conrad. It used to be Conrad's Upper Deck Seafood Restaurant, and we had a very cordial visit, and he was explaining to me all the plans he had, and I said, that's all well and good, and it needs the work. However, any work you do anywhere near the shoreline, along the shoreline, needs to be reviewed through our office.
In advance.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And come to me as the VMRC representative to ensure that any potential work will be reviewed locally by the Wetlands Board, federally by the Corps of Engineers, state VMRC, DEQ, Health Department, whomever, that there's a process in place, and I'd be happy to help him with it.
And he seemed to understand.
I thought he did.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Woodward. Is the applicant here or represented?
Yes, sir. My name is Rollins Simmons of Duncan Whitestone. I'm attorney for Mr. Edwards, and Mr. Edwards is also here.
Okay. Would you like to be heard?
Yes, sir.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we did not at all deny that we are in the wrong here. Clearly, he should have come here and he should have applied for this. He's painfully aware of that in hindsight, I can assure you. I think it's important to note that, Mr. Edwards has always said, addressing the issue of why he wasn't here last time, to me and to everyone else, that he didn't receive notice. I know I was skeptical, honestly, when he first came in to see me, he sat down with me. I reviewed everything, and I thought to myself, this sounds like the dog ate my homework. And I wrote him a letter telling him I would not represent him, and that was the basis of my not representing him. As that letter was sent out, my assistant came to me and said, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the zip code on this letter is for Chesapeake, not for Lancaster. And that's when I started looking at it, and I called Mr. Woodward and discussed it with Mr. Grab and Mr. Woodward. And the two letters subsequent to the hearing both had the wrong zip code on them. They were sent registered, and he did get them, but there's no way to tell what happened with the notice. Mr. Woodward went back and looked, but it's done in the form of a memo, and he said it was sent out regular mail. Now, it just seemed to me at that point that lent credibility to Mr. Edwards' argument, which he's always said in his letters and everywhere else. I was skeptical at that point. I agreed to represent him because I felt that there was credibility to his argument and that he should have his day before the commission and let you all decide based on the merits of the case.
And I think ultimately we felt the same way, which is why we're here today.
I appreciate you all's indulgence, and Mr. Graham, Mr. Woodward are very, very gracious in assisting us getting back here before you all, and I thank you all for that. First off, he should have had a permit. I think that, as Mr. Woodward said, when you look at this, that if he had applied, he probably would have been, I assume, granted it. This section of pier, make this work, right? It may be.
A little bit.
Oh, button up. Oh, wrong button. This section of pier here was widened from 3 feet to 5 feet. It's in its existing location except for the innermost pilings. This section was added by Mr. Edwards, and I have pictures here to substantiate that because the existing dock was all so low, and this section right here is shown in this picture, is underwater at a high tide, and his patrons couldn't get to shore. So he added this so they could get to shore safely without getting wet. This all started out as a sort of a repair project and gone awry, and it mushroomed, and he is certainly at fault for doing that. But I think that the intrusion on the state bottom, as the staff has said, is fairly minimal. We're talking about a 2-foot wider section plus 37 feet at the end there. He had 8 mooring piles there, which he has removed, and the barge has sunk because of the weather we've been having. He's got a man named Mr. Rob Cook, who works on a tugboat, and he's 30 days on and 30 days off. He's off again December 20th. During that time, from the end of November to now, is when this has occurred. And Mr. Edwards assures me that as soon as he is home, within a week of his being home, that barge will be up. They've got to have a low tide, pump it out. Mr. Cook has already conferred with him on how you can patch something like that if there's any leak. There's a way to weld it from inside.
He'll be here after the 20th of December?
After the 20th for 30 days. Okay. And he's the one who takes care of that for him. We certainly did not intend it to sink. It's been, as you know, extraordinary weather and extraordinary circumstances. The one thing that's really interesting in the question of what is the damage that Mr. Edwards has done to the environment, other than the fact he didn't properly apply, and we have pictures of this, is that in the last 2 weeks, I don't know how to...
Jay can help you.
Okay.
Counselor.
Good, Jay. The spoils from the dredging project in Greenvale Creek have come back into the creek, and this pier is virtually above mean low water level. One half of it is. It's an unusual situation. I've never had that happen, and I don't know if the accretion will continue at the rate it's continuing, but if it does, this may well cure itself naturally. But I guess you could see this is that extension that was put to shore from the end of this pier, and all of this sand here has accreted, and you can see this is looking back towards the restaurant. These are the outermost piles, and these are the innermost piles here, and this is all now sand, which it wasn't approximately 2 weeks ago. Ultimately, Mr. Edwards may have incurred all of this expense and problem and still not have a pier, no matter what. I would point out to the commission that Mr. Edwards right now is having a tough time with his business situations. He owes the County of Lancaster on the wetlands permits, and I've talked to Brian Barnes there, who said it's all dependent on what the commission does here. If the commission denies him here, it's a moot point, and he doesn't need to do anything with them. If so, then obviously he has to take care of Lancaster County, and he's waiting upon this commission's findings. He's in a restaurant business. It's in the slowest time of the year for them, and he has some commercial property in Fredericksburg that he's been trying to sell, or Stafford, but obviously can't. I have letters from BB&T and other banks that can substantiate that if anyone is interested in that.
I'll trust your representation.
He's also, of course, had to pay my retainer and paid $1,600 to have the drawings done. And if he's, you know, financially, it may be a moot point in the long run anyhow as to whether he can meet the requirements of the commission financially. He is a water-dependent facility. It's the only restaurant on this part of the Rappahannock River that I know of, other than perhaps Deltaville, and I think there's a new place maybe in Windmill Point that is accessible by water and has dockage of its own. Last year, of course, it was silted in to the point that you could hardly get in there. Now you can for a while. For 15 years, they've had the rockfish tournament out of there, except for last year when they had to move it because of the silting, and they came back this year. He lets the Methodist Men's Club run that charitable event out of there. He has allowed access to watermen for oystering. I have letters from that I'd like to present from Kevin Wade, J&W Seafood, from Mr. Kenneth Williams, as well as other neighbors, stating the...
Yes, sir.
Stating the...
Thank you.
The economic impact on the local watermen, because there are very few places now that, that allow them to bring the oysters ashore the way he does at these docks. I don't think that any of the neighbors have opposed this. In fact, some of the letters in there are from neighbors who thought this was a, was an improvement. This is the type of waterfront access that I think the state needs and has been encouraged by the commission in the past. And the old piers were dangerous to customers, being 3 feet wide and flooded at a reasonable high tide. The in conclusion, I would ask that the commission please consider granting these piers as they were constructed and to assess, you know, some reasonable penalty to him, bearing in mind the fact that a substantial penalty and with the undue hardship that he's facing right now in the economy could be tantamount to a denial. I ask your indulgence in these things. I know that he's in the wrong in doing this, but I think that the damage is minimal and the detriment not only to him but to the community is such that these should be granted. If you have any further questions of me or my client, we'll be glad to answer them.
I'd like to ask your client a couple questions if I could, please. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
So help me God.
Just a couple of questions.
How are you, gentlemen?
Could you say your name? My name is Ron Edwards.
Mr. Edwards, the pile driving activity, you own the crane that drove the pilings?
Not at the time that these pilings were driven. This crane right here did not drive those pilings. I bought the crane and the barge for subsequent improvements because all my pilings are ready to fall. The docks there.
Who drove the pilings?
Mr. Connolly.
Mr. Connolly. What's his first name?
Weston
Conley.
Yes, sir. Did he was up the creek, and I had done him some favors in the past. He wanted to use my facility. He pulled out a $100 bill, and I wouldn't accept it. I said, you're more than welcome to use my facility anytime. So when he was up the creek, this is maybe 2 years later, and he had come and gone several times. And I said, Bitsy, I don't know if I can afford you or not. But I said, what would it cost me to have you drive some pilings for me? And he came back the next day and he said, Ron, he said, you get the material. Can you afford $80 an hour? That was obviously a gift.
Was there ever any question at that time when the pilings were being driven about a permit?
Well, he told me what length and how many pilings to get. And so I called wood preservers and gave her how many pylons I needed. And then she said, well, what size decking boards do you need? And I said, I don't have a clue. And she said, well, we have 36 inches. And I said, well, that's what we have now. And people are bumping into each other, coming and going up that...
Mr. Edwards, let me bring you back to where I want to keep this focused. Was there ever any question from Mr. Conley during the course of driving the pilings of a permit being in your hand or available?
Well,
did y'all discuss a permit?
Can I back up for one little bit?
I need you to answer that specific question.
There was a conversation. I said I was told bad advice from well-intended neighbors and friends. I was doing a replacement dock, and we didn't encroach on the channel side. Just we came 18 inches on the land side, and my attorney said 60 inches. It's 54-inch boards, 18 inches over to the land side. Okay. And I, at the time, thought we were doing a replacement dock that didn't need a permit. I was wrong.
Okay.
Very much wrong.
That's the question I need to have answered. Just as a follow-up,
yes.
To get on the record, that barge that is now resting on state bottom,
yes, sir.
Are you under oath asserting to the commission that that barge will be removed from its present condition up and in a safe manner.
Yes, sir.
Subsequent to the 25th of December.
Yes, sir.
Because if not, then we have to take.
Let me
finish. Because if not, we have to then send letters, compel you to come to court, and I'd rather have your admission under oath here before the commission to keep us from having to go through that. Thank you. Questions from the commission? Mr. Schick.
So what you're saying is you took advice from neighbors and friends over the advice or the direction of the VMRC agent who told you that you had to have permits if you did anything close to the shoreline.
I met Mr. Woodward when I first came here, and I didn't know. I'd never even heard of VMRC before. And I shook hands and met Mr. Woodward. And at that time, to say the least, I was pretty overwhelmed with the whole operation. I didn't know. I know a lot more now. And I'll tell you what I'm prepared to do. I'm certainly not perfect, and I made my mistakes here, which if we can get past this in some manner, I'm willing to sign a document right now that if I ever violate anything that VMRC has jurisdiction of or this board, I'll pay double somehow or another without protest. I didn't intentionally try to.
Mr. Edwards, for the record, that's each one of those cases is handled under its individual merits and individual deliberation, so that understanding your intent, but that's not a possibility. Further questions? Mr. Schick, follow up.
Would you be willing to pay triple permit fees and the $1,800 charge if that's what the commission decides to charge you if you were able to keep your docks as constructed?
Well, if I could, not today because I don't have it. I was talking about any future infractions. I didn't buy this barge to. I will never even raise a finger of getting on that barge without a permit. Without your good graces. That's what I was trying to say.
Further questions? There you go. We got it that time. Further questions? Counselor? I'd like you to stand beside your client. I'd like to make a comment, if I could, please, and I'd like you to be there. As is. Understand things can happen, but at the same time, the commission cannot, and I will put the matter before the commission because it's a commission collective decision, but just as from the commissioner's perspective, cannot turn a blind eye to a situation such as this. If we did, then everyone coming before the commission, quite honestly, this civil charge that's been recommended by the staff is lower than some for, as I recall, smaller violations. I think they have taken into consideration discussions with your client, the activities that have been undertaken. I just want to let you know that you've done a very, very capable job representing your client, but at the same time, from my perspective, in my opinion, you just can't turn a blind eye to this type of activity.
The commission has to do what it has to do, and we will try to work with the commission in any way we can.
Okay. The matters. Any further comment? Mr. Fox?
Straight up.
Yes, sir.
I think that given the fact that Mr. Woodard talked to Mr. Edwards and explained that a permit was needed, and then Mr. Edwards went forward with without getting a permit, I think that in the ordinary course, what I would have recommended was that we assess a civil penalty of $1,800 for expanding the long dock and another penalty of $1,800 for adding the new dock that was not there before, making a total of $3,600. I think, however, given the financial situation of Mr. Edwards, I think that, and perhaps because we're coming into the Christmas season, I would make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation and assess a civil penalty of $1,800 and triple permit fees.
Second, now Mr. Holland. Further discussion.
I'd like to add on to that, if you wouldn't mind, that also you provide this with a name, phone number, and address of the person who drove the pylons and built the dock.
We can do that. Further comment? Mr. Tankers.
I would tend to agree with Mr. Fox's motion, and that this dock seems to be of some value to its neighbors, both watermen and recreationalists, and thus I would go with this motion. It does have value, and I think given the financial circumstances of Mr. Edwards, that any greater fine may be of detriment to the community around him.
Further comment? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Please convey to your client next time he gets his feet wet or near getting feet wet to call us.
I will make sure that he does.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay.
Next up, I'm sorry. Get him to agree to it?
Well,
okay.
Obviously agreement, but because we run into this all the time, the commission did not impose a period of time within which the civil charge has to be paid.
Sometimes, yes, sir, I understand. Yep, and we're the Commonwealth of Virginia, and we're on time schedule. Counselor? Thank you, Bob.
Would it be possible for him to have until the 1st of February to pay the fund? He's got some settlement he's trying to have in January that would fund it. Would that be?
60, 90 days, whatever. I mean, I just needed something from the commission.
Thank you, Jim.
You want a motion?
But make a motion, Mr. Fox, just so we're perfected.
I would move that we allow him until March 15 to pay the civil penalty.
Your second?
Excellent.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Counselor, that's significantly past February 1st, and there's a reason for it. We have deadlines.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
I'll make sure that we comply.
Have a safe trip home.
Thank you very much.